from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
We have everything in this room, everything, I'm telling you right now, to get that done.
Former Toledo football tackling machine.
Number 90, Matt Eberflus. One of the lead men there.
You're right.
Beekeeper extraordinaire.
Wait, what?
Yes, Matt Eberflus has an apiary in his home. He bottles his own honey.
Giver of nicknames.
Big Dog, you good? Spidey, you good? Governor? Young Jedi. The Canadian Eagle, that's what they call him. Herbie the Love Bug.
Matt Eberflus with Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahim on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's talk some Bears football with head coach Matt Eberflus on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
What can you tell us, and why were you guys interested in bringing Daryl Taylor to the team?
Before I talk about that, Douglas Coleman, that young man that was injured yesterday, was released from the hospital, and he's walking around. I did talk to him. He's in good spirits. He flew back to Chicago. I think he's landing at about this time. So just want to update everybody with that, and then I'll go on to your question about Daryl Taylor. It's exciting for us to get him. He's got sack production. He's a really good pass rusher. He fits our scheme in terms of his effort, his style, his disposition, and we're excited to have him. I did talk to him a little bit ago, and again, it's pending physical and all those things, so he's on his way here to get that done today.
How many roster decisions are already made? Do you guys pretty much have an idea of what the team is going to look like now?
No, I think what you do is, the best way to do it is let it play out. And you have an open mind when you come into training camp, and we have those breaks that you have in the action, and you do an evaluation of the skill, of the talent you have, and where guys are competing, and you let it play out all the way through. And that's exactly what we do every year, and it's going to be a big meeting that we have here shortly. But, again, we have those conversations ongoing throughout training camp.
But that meeting is today?
Yeah. I have a coordinator's meeting here at 1, and I got the personnel meeting will be here about 2 o'clock.
Coach, that's great. How much did this last game factor in? We saw a lot of people getting different reps in different parts of the game. I know there are some very crowded position rooms when it comes to who might make the roster and who might not.
Yeah, no question. You know, a lot of guys put their best foot forward yesterday, had some really good performances. And there's not a lot of guys out there, so I really want to commend those guys for the effort they put out there. They're playing a lot of snaps in terms of offense and defense, but also on special teams. And man, they have really got to gut it out there. And I just want to thank those guys for their efforts.
Are you pleased with how you have been portrayed so far on Hard Knocks? And how much of an effort have you put into shaping that portrayal?
I would just say that when we heard we're going to get Hard Knocks, I had a meeting with the players, and I said, guys, just be authentic, be yourself. I said, that's going to be good enough. You guys are great young men. We have a great staff here, great support staff, coaches. I said, just be yourself, be authentic. And, the show does a wonderful job of staying in the background. You barely notice that they're here, and it's been good.
Matt, we had a discussion earlier about the cover two defense, and my time as a Bears reporter was covering Lovie Smith and what he did, how he improved and evolved the Tampa 2 into the Lovie 2, and what he was doing with Brian Urlacher at the middle linebacker position. I'd love to know, as someone that has played around with this defense for a long time, How have you seen it evolve? And how have you seen maybe positions of strength in that defense change from what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to where it is now?
Yeah, I'll start with the latter. I do believe that the positions are pretty much sustained in terms of strength. You know, your defensive line is always going to be a strength. You want, you know, at least a couple good pass rushers there that affect the game, one at end, one at tackle, preferably. You know, the Will linebacker has always been a big part. The Mike linebacker has always been a big part of this defense. The nickel has been an explosive player in this defense. So those are always going to be the hot spots, you know, in terms of positions. And that hasn't changed over time in our system. But what has changed, to answer your first question, is a lot of the coverage contours, the multiplicity of coverage, the multiplicity of pressure. And we have changed and adjusted that over the years, really just to fit, you know, the game and the way the game's evolving every single year. And you got to do that every single year. You got to change and adjust a little bit. But our core beliefs never change. You know, we're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. And we're gonna run and hit, and that's what we've been able to do here during the preseason and the last part of last year.
Let me follow up specifically about the corner position now, because like Lawrence is saying, you know, back when we were talking to whether it's Rod Marinelli, even back to Monty Kiffin, people would use the term cover two corner almost in a derogatory sense. Well, you know, you can find a cover two corner. Guy's on a little on the bigger side, safety type body. He drops to a landmark. He reads the flat. He comes up. He secures a tackle, whatever. But now you've got corners who have played as actual mirror corner, run with guys, cover guys who are working within your system. Is that a nod to how good wide receivers have gotten now that we can't look at just the corner as a fungible spot like it used to be?
Yeah, the skill sets of your corners nowadays have to be multiple. You can't just line up there in the flat and reroute a receiver and then play zone of the entire time. That was your comment about cover two corner. You can't do that anymore. So our guys play multiple coverages. They have multiple skill sets to be able to play man, play match, play zone, you know, different types of zone, and be able to move around a little bit, pressure at times. So our guys have done a really good job, and really our scouting staff has done a really good job of acquiring those guys and, you know, keeping those guys. And I'm referring to Jalen, Tyreek, you know, Kyler Gordon, you know, all the guys that we have, Smitty, you know, that we have on our roster now. So we're excited about our corners. And again, we got to get better. We got a lot of work to do to the first game.
Coach, one of the things that we've enjoyed seeing on Hard Knocks has been just a look into more of what you do day to day and some of the meetings you've had, whether it's film analysis or the conversations you have with Caleb Williams, but also the relationship you have with Nick Saban. That was so great to see in the first episode. What can you tell us about your relationship with him and how much of an influence he's been on you?
Yeah, Coach Saban's been great. You know, he had a big impact on my life when I was a 20-year-old guy back in Toledo when he came over there and took that program over. He was only there 1 year, and we won the championship that year. And it was very impactful how he came in and really just gave clear expectations of what he expected. And then he laid the standards down of how we want to play the game in terms of the players and the effort and the intensity that we wanted to display on a daily basis. And I took a lot from that. And I've had the opportunity to stay with him, connected to him over the years, if it was over a pro day or phone calls or whatever that might be. And he's been a great mentor to me and been a great advisor for me over the years. And certainly him coming here to Halisaw for those 2.5-3 hours was very impactful for me professionally. And just it was really just good to see him. I invited him in when I heard him, he retired. And he did come in, and it was fortunate that he had an engagement here and was able to do that.
I appreciated how much he talked to you as, like, you were still his player, too. You know, he has a way of not only making you feel like you're the only person in the room, I feel like he made you feel like you're the only person who's ever been in that room before. What can you say about just how powerful he is in a one-on-one situation like that?
Yeah, he's a great communicator. He does a wonderful job with getting his message across. And, you know, he can do it with stories, analogies, and different things like that. But he's done a really good job with that. But he's very impactful. You know, you don't get to the spot where he is the best coach in college football for no reason. And he certainly is that.
Matt, throughout this process with Caleb Williams, you guys have done your homework. He's been with you guys. You've known that you were going to get him. But now that you've been in these morning meetings with him, that you're actually watching tape with him after practices, what are the things that you take away from the experience of having that guy as your quarterback?
Yeah, like I've said in the past, and this is true, that he's all in on learning every single day, being present in the meetings and wanting to get better and improve. And he rises up to the challenge every time we set a bar a little higher for him in terms of his communication, in terms of his concept awareness, play awareness. He's done that every single time. And we're going to do that again this week. We'll have a meeting with him today and talk to him and visit with him. And he will level up again.
Matt, I loved the piece that Kevin Fishbane did, watching film with you, and all of the gritty and granular football-y stuff about hamstring tackling toward the line of scrimmage and where the toes are pointed. And as detail-oriented as you are, and as, I don't want to say obsessed, but as concerned as you are with winning on the margins, it's one thing to do that watching tape in a positional room. It's one thing to do it as a coordinator. How does that manifest itself as an executive? How does it manifest itself to have all of, to be cognizant of those same margins as a head coach?
Yeah, so to me, first of all, I enjoyed that article with Kevin. He did a wonderful job. Obviously, Sports Radio of the Year in the state of Illinois, you don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys. And I really enjoyed that article piece and doing it with him and having that conversation. And to answer your first one, I would say it's about coaching the coaches. So I'm not able to be everywhere at one time, but I am able to have coaches that are really good at what they do and understand standards and how we want to get things done at their position. So we set those standards. We understand how we want to look in terms of the drills, in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the after action, in terms of how we evaluate those things, in terms of the fundamental skill that I was talking about in that article, and that's at every position. So that's how you do it as a head football coach.
I've been dying to ask you this question, Matt, and it has a little bit to do with what Dan asked. When you came in, you had said, look, I'm going to be an executive head coach. I'm going to let my coordinators do their thing. Obviously, things changed, and you had to take over play calling responsibility. We had Jaquan Brisker on the show every week, and we talked to him about the impact of you being in those rooms and you calling the defense. I'd love to know, how do you think that impacted your relationship with players? Instead of being the CEO head coach, you're in the trenches and in the meeting rooms with them in a way that you were very used to. Do you think that gave you more insight into what those guys are about and how you can be an effective coach for them?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you are in there. No matter what your role is as a head football coach, you have to be connected to each player. And you have to know each player because you have to be able to motivate those guys intrinsically and also extrinsically. So I think it's important that you do that. But it's important that when I did get into that role of being the play caller, to me, it was like riding a bike. You just jump back in and do it. But I will say this year is going to be even better because I have Eric Washington and the same staff that we had before, and he's going to be able to help me facilitate that faster during the early part of the week, and then I'll be able to be involved also with the offense.
Coach, we really have appreciated just seeing more candor from you. I think it started really at the combine, in that press conference. And I want to ask you, since you started this job, how would you compare you now to where you were when you first started with the Bears?
Well, I think it's a learning process, isn't it? With everybody, every position that you have, the jobs that we've had over the years and the jobs that you guys have had, you just get better. Experience and exposure teaches you a lot of things. And I think once you're comfortable in the spot, you can just be yourself and be authentic, and that's what I'm trying to do.
How good is this team? What would be the right way to set our expectations? What are fair expectations for this Bears team this year?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to what Coach Saban said to me about expectations. Those things are outside forces, and we really need to focus on the inside out, what we're doing on a day-to-day basis to get the job done for 1 week at a time. And I know that sounds like coach speak, but it's true. You know, we can't focus on what expectations are on the outside. We know that we can be a pretty good football team, but we also know that there's a challenge every single week in front of us, and that challenge right now is Tennessee.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's appreciated that you're on the score, because Bears fans are as excited as I can ever remember them for this upcoming season. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully all of the injured players are going to be good to go, and you guys will be able to do exactly what you want to do as the season begins. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chicago Bears head coach Matt Eberflus.
We have everything in this room, everything, I'm telling you right now, to get that done.
Former Toledo football tackling machine.
Number 90, Matt Eberflus. One of the lead men there.
You're right.
Beekeeper extraordinaire.
Wait, what?
Yes, Matt Eberflus has an apiary in his home. He bottles his own honey.
Giver of nicknames.
Big Dog, you good? Spidey, you good? Governor? Young Jedi? The Canadian Eagle, that's what they call him. Herbie the Love Bug.
Matt Eberflus with Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, and Layla Rahimi on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's talk some Bears football with head coach Matt Eberflus on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
What can you tell us, and why were you guys interested in bringing Daryl Taylor to the team?
Before I talk about that, Douglas Coleman, that young man that was injured yesterday, was released from the hospital, and he's walking around. I did talk to him. He's in good spirits. He flew back to Chicago. I think he's landing at about this time. So just want to update everybody with that, and then I'll go on to your question about Daryl Taylor. It's exciting for us to get him. He's got sack production. He's a really good pass rusher. He fits our scheme in terms of his effort, his style, his disposition, and we're excited to have him. I did talk to him a little bit ago, and again, it's pending physical and all those things, so he's on his way here to get that done today.
How many roster decisions are already made? Do you guys pretty much have an idea of what the team is going to look like now?
No, I think what you do is, the best way to do it is let it play out. And you have an open mind when you come into training camp, and we have those breaks that you have in the action, and you do an evaluation of the skill, of the talent you have, and where guys are competing, and you let it play out all the way through. And that's exactly what we do every year, and it's going to be a big meeting that we have here shortly. But, again, we have those conversations ongoing throughout training camp.
But that meeting is today?
Yeah. I have a coordinator's meeting here at 1, and I got the personnel meeting will be here about 2 o'clock.
Coach, that's great. How much did this last game factor in? We saw a lot of people getting different reps in different parts of the game. I know there are some very crowded position rooms when it comes to who might make the roster and who might not.
Yeah, no question. You know, a lot of guys put their best foot forward yesterday, had some really good performances. And there's not a lot of guys out there, so I really want to commend those guys for the effort they put out there. They're playing a lot of snaps in terms of offense and defense, but also on special teams. And man, they have really got to gut it out there. And I just want to thank those guys for their efforts.
Are you pleased with how you have been portrayed so far on Hard Knocks? And how much of an effort have you put into shaping that portrayal?
I would just say that when we heard we're going to get Hard Knocks, I had a meeting with the players, and I said, guys, just be authentic, be yourself. I said, that's going to be good enough. You guys are great young men. We have a great staff here, great support staff, coaches. I said, just be yourself, be authentic. And, you know, the show does a wonderful job of staying in the background. You barely notice that they're here, and it's been good.
Matt, we had a discussion earlier about the Cover 2 defense, and my time as a Bears reporter was covering Lovie Smith and what he did, how he improved and evolved the Tampa 2 into the Lovie 2, and what he was doing with Brian Urlacher at the middle linebacker position. I'd love to know, as someone that has played around with this defense for a long time, how have you seen it evolve, and how have you seen maybe positions of strength in that defense change from what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, to where it is now?
Yeah, I'll start with the latter. I do believe that the positions are pretty much sustained in terms of strength. You know, your defensive line is always going to be a strength. You want, you know, at least a couple good pass rushers there that affect the game, one at end, one at tackle, preferably. You know, the Will linebacker has always been a big part. The Mike linebacker has always been a big part of this defense. The nickel has been an explosive player in this defense. So those are always going to be the hot spots, you know, in terms of positions. And that hasn't changed over time in our system. But what has changed, to answer your first question, is a lot of the coverage contours, the multiplicity of coverage, the multiplicity of pressure. And we have changed and adjusted that over the years, really just to fit, you know, the game and the way the game's evolving every single year. And you got to do that every single year. You got to change and adjust a little bit. But our core beliefs never change. You know, we're going to play fast. We're going to play physical. And we're gonna run and hit, and that's what we've been able to do here during the preseason and the last part of last year.
Let me follow up specifically about the corner position now, because like Lawrence is saying, you know, back when we were talking to whether it's Rod Marinelli, even back to Monty Kiffin, people would use the term cover two corner almost in a derogatory sense. Well, you know, you can find a cover two corner. Guy's on a little on the bigger side, safety type body. He drops to a landmark. He reads the flat. He comes up. He secures a tackle, whatever. But now you've got corners who have played as actual mirror corner, run with guys, cover guys who are working within your system. Is that a nod to how good wide receivers have gotten now, that we can't look at just the corner as a fungible spot like it used to be?
Yeah, I would the skill sets of your corners nowadays have to be multiple. You can't just line up there in the flat and reroute a receiver and then play zone the entire time. That was your comment about cover two corner. You can't do that anymore. So our guys play multiple coverages. They have multiple skill sets to be able to play man, play match, play zone, you know, different types of zone, and be able to move around a little bit, pressure at times. So our guys have done a really good job, and really our scouting staff has done a really good job of acquiring those guys and, you know, keeping those guys. And I'm referring to Jalen, Tyreek, you know, Kyler Gordon, you know, all the guys that we have, Smitty, you know, that we have on our roster now. So we're excited about our corners. And again, we got to get better. We got a lot of work to do for the first game.
Coach, one of the things that we've enjoyed seeing on Hard Knocks has been just a look into more of what you do day to day and some of the meetings you've had, whether it's film analysis or the conversations you have with Caleb Williams, but also the relationship you have with Nick Saban. That was so great to see in the first episode. What can you tell us about your relationship with him and how much of an influence he's been on you?
Yeah, Coach Saban's been great. You know, he had a big impact on my life when I was a 20-year-old guy back in Toledo when he came over there and took that program over. He was only there 1 year, and we won the championship that year. And it was very impactful how he came in and really just gave clear expectations of what he expected. And then he laid the standards down of how we want to play the game in terms of the players and the effort and the intensity that we wanted to display on a daily basis. And I took a lot from that. And I've had the opportunity to stay with him, connected to him over the years, if it was over a pro day or phone calls or whatever that might be. And he's been a great mentor to me and been a great advisor for me over the years. And certainly him coming here to Halisaw for those 2.5-3 hours was very impactful for me professionally. And it was really just good to see him. I invited him in when I heard him, he retired, and he did come in, and it was fortunate that he had an engagement here and was able to do that.
Appreciated how much he talked to you as like you were still his player too. You know, he has a way of not only making you feel like you're the only person in the room, I feel like he made you feel like you're the only person who's ever been in that room before. What can you say about just how powerful he is in a one-on-one situation like that?
Yeah, he's a great communicator. He does a wonderful job with getting his message across, and you know, he can do it with stories, analogies, and different things like that. But he's done a really good job with that. But he's very impactful. You know, you don't get to the spot where he is the best coach in college football for no reason, and he certainly is that.
Matt, throughout this process with Caleb Williams, you guys have done your homework. He's been with you guys. You've known that you were going to get him. But now that you've been in these morning meetings with him, that you're actually watching tape with him after practices, what are the things that you take away from the experience of having that guy as your quarterback?
Yeah, like I've said in the past, and this is true, that he's all in on learning every single day, being present in the meetings and wanting to get better and improve. And he rises up to the challenge every time we set a bar a little higher for him in terms of his communication, in terms of his concept awareness, play awareness. He's done that every single time, and we're going to do that again this week. We'll have a meeting with him today and talk to him, visit with him, and he will level up again.
Matt, I loved the piece that Kevin Fishbane did, you know, watching film with you, and all of the gritty and granular football-y stuff about hamstring tackling toward the line of scrimmage and where the toes are pointed. And as detail-oriented as you are, and as, I don't mean to say obsessed, but as concerned as you are with winning on the margins, it's one thing to do that watching tape in a positional room. It's one thing to do it as a coordinator. How does that manifest itself as an executive? How does it manifest itself to have all to be cognizant of those same margins as a head coach?
Yeah, so to me, first of all, I enjoyed that article with Kevin. He did a wonderful job. You know, obviously, Sports Radio of the Year in the state of Illinois, you don't get that by accident. He does a wonderful job for those guys. And I really enjoyed that article piece and doing it with him and having that conversation. And to answer your first one, I would say it's about coaching the coaches. You know, so I'm not able to be everywhere at one time, but I am able to have coaches that are really good at what they do and understand standards and how we want to get things done at their position. So we set those standards. We understand how we want to look you know, in terms of the drills, in terms of the teamwork, in terms of the after action, in terms of how we evaluate those things, in terms of the fundamental skill that I was talking about in that article, and that's at every position. So that's how you do it as a head football coach.
I've been dying to ask you this question, Matt, and it has a little bit to do with what Dan asked. When you came in, you had said, look, I'm going to be an executive head coach. I'm going to let my coordinators do their thing. Obviously, things changed, and you had to take over play calling responsibility. We had Jaquan Brisker on the show every week, and we talked to him about the impact of you being in those rooms and you calling the defense. I'd love to know, how do you think that impacted your relationship with players? Instead of being the CEO head coach, you're in the trenches and in the meeting rooms with them in a way that you were very used to. Do you think that gave you more insight into what those guys are about and how you can be an effective coach for them?
Yeah, I think it's important that, you know, you are in there. No matter what your role is as a head football coach, you have to be connected to each player. And you have to know each player because you have to be able to motivate those guys intrinsically and also extrinsically. So I think it's important that you do that. But it's important that when I did get into that role of being the play caller, you know, to me, it was like riding a bike. You just jump back in and do it. But I will say this year is going to be even better because I have Eric Washington and the same staff that we had before, and he's going to be able to help me facilitate that faster during the early part of the week, and then I'll be able to be involved also with the offense.
Coach, we really have appreciated just seeing more candor from you. I think it started really at the combine, you know, in that press conference. And I want to ask you, since you started this job, how would you compare you now to where you were when you first started with the Bears?
Well, I think it's a learning process, isn't it? with everybody in every position that you have. You know, the jobs that we've had over the years and the jobs that you guys have had, you just get better. You know, experience and exposure teaches you a lot of things. And I think once you're comfortable in the spot, you can just be yourself and be authentic, and that's what I'm trying to do.
How good is this team? What would be the right way to set our expectations? What are fair expectations for this Bears team this year?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to what Coach Saban said to me about expectations. You know, those things are outside forces, and we really need to focus on the inside out. You know, what we're doing on a day-to-day basis to get the job done for 1 week at a time. And I know that sounds like coach speak, but it's true. You know, we can't focus on what expectations are on the outside. We know that we can be a pretty good football team, but we also know that there's a challenge every single week in front of us, and that challenge right now is Tennessee.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's appreciated that you're on the Score, because Bears fans are as excited as I can ever remember them for this upcoming season. Good luck the rest of the way. Hopefully all of the injured players are going to be good to go, and you guys will be able to do exactly what you want to do as the season begins. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus with Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.